Item number one, Domes Task Force Update, Phase 3. This file is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
So first off, I just want to thank you, Mr. Lynch, for your service and efforts over these last few years getting us to this point, and I ask you to provide an overview of the task force's final recommendations.
This one work?
Yeah.
So that sounds like it. So, good evening and thank you all for coming here to consider this most important possible development for the Long County and the region and the state. It's a great pleasure for me to that the Domes Task Force recommends a path forward for the Mitchell Park and Domes. This recommendation is based on the results of the reports of the three phases of our work. In phase one, we dealt with comparative analysis of other similar operations in other places. We did a very thorough examination of the market for projects such as this and looked at and developed eight different possible alternatives to consider for a way forward. At the end of phase one, we also undertook a second phase of community engagement, and we got responses from over 2,400 people who either filled out the online survey or participated in the five focus groups that we conducted. Based on those recommendations from the community and the input we had, we came to the conclusion that we should look at in more depth at two alternatives. One would be to rehabilitate the domes, all three of them, and provide, in addition, some targeted investments to make them work more efficiently and effectively. The second alternative we decided to look at was to see if we could develop the domes as a major destination attraction for people, not just from this community, but from the region and nationally. And we indicate that we would support the recommendations of the public that we center on ecological and environmental quality matters. We then engaged in a third phase of our work that has now just been completed, and the purpose of that was to refine the two options and see whether we should, what the details would be of the challenges and opportunities of moving forward. The, and the result is our phase three report to the county board and the county executive. A new urban botanical park and conservatory re-envisions Mitchell Park and Domes for the next 50 years. So we're looking at, we went through quite a process. We started out being concerned about the costs and problems of restoring and rehabilitating the domes and structures. And we got estimates of possibilities of to do that work ranging from $14 million to $60-some million, depending on what was, how extensive it was. And some of those early recommendations would have resulted in extending the life of the domes for 25 years. But I'm very happy to present to you and to the board an option that would not result in restoration of domes for only 25 years, but is based on 50 years of additional life for the rehabilitation of the domes. And it's also a part of this. We had at phase two, we had an estimate that it might cost $85 million in capital expenses in order to rehabilitate the domes and make it a destination attraction with a lot more facilities and activities. And I'm happy to present to you a plan that calls for $66 million, not $85 million, to have this result in being a destination attraction. So with those things in mind, we have also been able to determine the actual cost of rehabilitating the physical structures of the buildings should be approximately $30 million. That would include also the possibility of the needs to upgrade them for Americans with Disability Act access again for meeting current building codes, as well as making sure that they stop leaking or functioning in a way that wasn't going to end up with concrete falling on your head. So that's encouraging. It's $30 million, not the much higher estimates that we have. We've also had some encouraging reports from other studies that the county has undertaken that demonstrate that the concrete structure is in a relatively sound condition and may not be in as much need of work and repair as we thought. And there's a second study going on the particulars of methodologies to deal with the leaking problems of the domes. And there are encouraging preliminary results on that, but there'll be some experimentation going on in the next few months on that part. So we've come, but the other thing I want to point out to you is that as we've learned more and more about the needs for finding a viable way for this current operation to continue, we've learned that we really need to add a lot more benefit to the community from this project in order to make it viable. And that's exciting because we'll get more than what we've had in the past. We're looking to changing the focus of how we handle exhibits in the domes so that we'll have changing exhibits in all three domes so that there could be a special tropical dome exhibit dealing with the tropical rainforests of Costa Rica with Costa Rican food and Costa Rican music and that sort of thing. We're also looking to expand the facilities to have them be a much more vital resource for public education about how plants affect our community and how they reflect our culture. So that some of you were able to see the presentation earlier over in the other part of the domes that centers on a lot of the features of the plan, and we will present more of that to you as we go forward. On the financial considerations, and that's always an issue, we've also recommended quite an innovative and in some ways complicated but very viable financing structure to raise the funds for this operation. And that includes some part of the money come from the county providing bond proceeds funds, but only 20% of the $66 million that we feel we would need to invest in capital over the 10-year, over this next 10 years. The rest of the money would include another 20% roughly from a capital campaign where we would get corporations and foundations and individuals to contribute to the effort. The remaining portion, however, would come from a combination of tax credits and investment opportunities. Because these are historic structures and because we are recommending that the county go ahead with seeking a listing of this complex as a national treasure on the historic register, we would qualify, as we understand it, for historic preservation tax credits, and somewhere about $7 million toward the cost would come from that source. Good thing about that source is that money doesn't have to be repaid. It's not a loan or it's a grant. The other sources would be new non-cap tax credits, opportunity zone investment, and PACE funding. Because this facility is in an area where that qualifies for these programs, they seem to be a very fitting way to deal with financing. what we would do is then increase the revenue sources by increasing facilities that produce revenue in order to help pay off these loans in effect and not repay return on investment. So the end result might be that the county and as county taxpayers, you know, wouldn't have the cost of servicing $13.5 million of bonds, but get $66 million in capital improvements as a result. We would also be working to reduce the direct contribution that the county makes to the budget of this operation over the years, so that it would come down from where it is now rather than increase, and it would end up being only about 5% of the operating expenses of the operation. So that's sort of a main overview, and the rest of this presentation I turn over to the students, who is the consultant with the task force that helped to develop this program, and she'll describe in more detail some of these aspects.
Thank you, Bill Lynch, and thank you to every member of your task force. Everybody in this room should say thank you. This is a group of volunteers. Task force members, you should stand up. This wonderful group met for 3 years. So Supervisor Lipscomb and Supervisors, I am honored to follow up with Bill's presentation and share a few more details. I would also like to mention the wonderful team members of mine who are here. Ken Saki, who's Saki Design, and his team, and Jocelia Meniola, who is with Engberg Anderson, and Jocelia is responsible for producing these wonderful posters and wonderful images of our incredible I'm going to ask them to do a little banner white as I go through so that you can all have a chance to see these wonderful designs. I wanted to share with you, just briefly, I'm going to ask you all a question. How many of you were married in the Domes? One, two, three, there you are. How many of you went to prom in the Domes or had your prom pictures taken? How many of you took your mothers here for Mother's Day? How many of you celebrated a birthday at the Domes? How many of you, like me, had your engagement pictures taken at the Domes? I'm the only one. Oh, there's my husband. My best friend. I remember. Wedding pictures. How many had your wedding pictures taken here? How many of you feel that the Domes are part of your heart? Yeah. And see, I'm trying something. I'm the out-of-town consultant, but I'm from Milwaukee County. My mom is here, and she's 97 years old, and she loves the Domes. So, the Domes are an emotional part of Milwaukee. They belong to all of you. They are historically important. And like all iconic buildings, they actually do become historically important. And our project found that the Domes truly qualify to be on the National Register, and they qualify to receive historic tax credits, which is a very important investment opportunity that the federal government makes possible when saving historic buildings. Now, this building that we're in and the other greenhouses along this line don't qualify. But there is one other building besides those three domes that does qualify, and that's the hidden dome in the back which has been used sort of as an in-between dome, and we're proposing that it become a restaurant. And I'm hoping, can one of you show us the image of the potential restaurant dome? Now, this is not just a casual thing that I'm introducing here. You see, for historic tax credits, you have to have some sort of a venture that is separate from the nonprofit and municipal or government piece of this. And that's, so the restaurant dome, and you might want to bring this out to show everybody a little closer. That little dome you'll see as you walk out can become an important part of the county's ability to
do that right so the supervisors can see it.
That makes it possible to get historic tax credits. Not just a little bit of tax credits, but a significant amount. We're hoping supervisors for about $7 million in historic tax credits. And this is federal money, and believe it or not, this is the kind of federal money that you don't have to pay back. That makes it particularly wonderful. It's an investment into major historic buildings. Now, there's another part of the domes, as we've been looking at it and thinking about it, that we feel is equally as important as something like using that little hidden building over there. And that is the programs and the workforce development and the jobs that it can make possible for the community. There's a saying, supervisors, that I feel very strongly about, which is that today we're not in the parks or any kind of civic asset business. You, we, all of us who care about this are thinking about something called civic commons, a way to maximize our coming together as people and coming together as a community and maximizing the relevance of the investment that you have. Now, a civic commons is first and foremost open. It's for all of you. It's for everybody in Milwaukee and beyond. It is a beautiful gathering place, and that's why we built into this plan the revitalization of the entire park. It is a place where multiple things are happening all the time. I wouldn't say 24/7, but 14/7 and year-round. It's a place for education, lifelong learning. It's also a place for an apprenticeship program for teens working in horticulture who can go on to a certification program in horticultural degrees and go on to be a part of a team working here in viable jobs that are good paying jobs, and then can go on out into Milwaukee County and start their businesses. The same can happen in a culinary area. We've got with that wonderful dome a chance for a farm to table restaurant concept. And we've got with the Boathouse Pavilion the opportunity for a wonderful new state-of-the-art events center. We have a picture of the event center over there, or that beautiful one, Jocelia, this. Now, I would like all of you to go and take a look at the way it looks currently, and then the way we're seeing it reinterpreted and re-envisioned. Now, the presence of that event center, together with the restaurant, it's worth, isn't it? The presence of that, and yes, even food trucks in the park. Food trucks in the park. What does that do? Well, that gives us a chance for a culinary program to operate here and get to the point of not only certification for chefs, but training as potential restaurateurs who are learning by running their own food trucks, learning through the entire process being in the catering side over there, learning in the restaurant, and going on to being chefs in their own restaurants. With this, we believe, and we've gone through the numbers over and over, we believe that it's very viable to see 300 jobs created and sustained. So this isn't just build it and use that as building jobs. This is build it, develop the workforce training, and continue each graduating class, if you will, within workforce training, growing through this process, and then moving out into the county. That's the kind of thing we talk about when we talk about civic commons. We talk about doing so much more with the assets that you have than perhaps have ever been thought about before. And it is within this kind of programming, supervisors, that we can bring to the table the kind of mix of funding and financing that goes beyond historic tax credits. It includes new market tax credits, which are absolutely in line with this, and it includes opportunity zone, which is, as you know, brand new kind of opportunity here to bring in. Now, there's another kind of tax credits that we can bring to the table, and that's because the wonderful new visitor center and other buildings are going to have absolute energy efficiency. We feel it's really important in this part, particularly, to model what's best for our environment. And so a green roof building, green roof buildings, pervious pavements throughout, so that we're demonstrating the best for stormwater runoff, sustainable gardens and plants. As we look at all of this together, we see the opportunity for PACE clean energy financing to also be a part of our mix. Now, supervisors, you and our county executive gave our team an almost unbelievable challenge. You told us to try and make this project work with as little county money as possible. And we nearly went out of our minds, to be perfectly honest. But you know, you did Milwaukee County a great favor, and you pushed us to a different kind of thinking, which is this represents the finest public-private partnership concept. This represents the kind of concept that is so important to so many civic assets and to our future as communities. By challenging us to put together a kind of financing and funding package that includes historic tax credits, new market tax credits, PACE, and opportunity zones, we've been able to, in our current level of work, bring this down to meeting only a $13.5 million county investment. And that investment, by the way, we're forecasting as not meeting until 2022. And we're forecasting not meeting it all in 1 year. So we're trying to make it as easy as possible. Now, that investment is really important in my mind as an incentive for the private sector to match what the county is doing. So we put together a model that says, if the county can put in $13.5 million, we're going to ask the private sector to match it one-to-one with $13.5 million, and then put the rest of it together with all this kind of finance. We think that's a pretty special way to live out public-private partnership. Now, I'm not going to say that we're sure of this, but I think we might even be able to get more financing and federal and national monies into the mix. We may be even able to lower the county price tag, but I haven't put those numbers down yet. But I'm holding out hope. This is going to take a different kind of operations going to take a kind of partnership between parks and what we're calling a conservancy, that the Friends organization that so many of you are a part of, and that the Friends have been a part of all of this planning, that they will help the private sector fundraising part. This is also going to require a kind of partnership with other community institutions. And I'm very grateful tonight that we're being joined by a couple that we know are here. We've got the UW Extension represented tonight, and we've got the Medical College of Wisconsin represented tonight. And it's been a pleasure to start building the kind of partnerships, supervisors, that I hope will help sustain this park, because that's the other piece of this that I know you are very concerned about, and that is a sustainable financial model. We've run 10-year cash flows. We've talked about what it's going to take to generate the revenue and the activities to make this work. And I'm confident that with a group of partners who will have a daily presence here in the park, a daily presence providing services jointly and individually, that we will be able to deliver this high level of programming and also drive a sustainable financial model that will repay its debts from the financing and generate cash reserves to be fiscally prudent going into the future. It's a tall order, and my closing thoughts to all of you are, this is really truly breaking new ground. It's going to take more planning by far than our team was able to accomplish in the last 3 months. We just scratched the surface. We've done as much due diligence as we could within our time, but we know that every step forward is going to require more diligence, more examination of the financials every step of the way. We feel that that's very important to protect every resident of Milwaukee County and to protect all of you. We believe that working together on the structures and the finances, this can be a model, and it can be a great success. And I just want to close by saying, what better success than the iconic Milwaukee Domes? What better success than one of the very first parks created in Milwaukee? What better success than a park created on the spot, for those of you who are historians, of the first trading post in Milwaukee, which is just over there, and is going to be a part, one of our part pieces of our wonderful landscape plan is we're going to bring back the memorial marker for that trading post so that we remember the link and the history. And what better place in Milwaukee to have this park, as it has always been, this park here. This has always been a community and a neighborhood. Right around here, it's been the neighborhood of immigrants. This park has been a meaningful place because it's meant so much to so many whose families have come here and become a part of this community. So the question that was put to us was, can the domes be saved? The question that was put to us is there a business model that is workable? The question that was put to us is, how can you make this happen with as little county money as possible? The question that was put to us is, can it be sustainable and financially viable year in and year out? And yes, will people come? If you build it, will they come? Well, we believe that with exciting new exhibits in all the buildings and exciting programming and wonderful support and services from partner entities, there will be a lot of people who come. You know, the very first year that this park was open, the domes were open. There was one dome that was open. And almost 900,000 people came for one dome in one
sure we'll get it back to 900,000, but we're going to get it a lot higher than today. So, in answer to the questions you all put to us, should the domes be saved and can the domes be saved? Our answer back to you is yes.
Our next item will be public comment. Mr. Clerk, could you please read item 2 into the record?
Item number 2. Public comment. Testimony may be limited to 2 minutes.
We're now in the public comment section of the agenda. Clerk Christensen will call 2 names at a time. First person called should step up to the microphone, and the second person should line up right behind them and be ready. We'd ask you to be brief, keep comments limited to the Domes Task Force recommendation, and direct comments to me as the chairman. You have up to 2 minutes. Deputy Clerk will hold up the sign, let you know when you have 1 minute left. Again, when you have 30 seconds at the conclusion of your time, the Deputy Clerk will hold up a stop sign. Mr. Clerk, please call the names of the first two speakers.
Father Bill Johnson and Jim Goulet.
Thank you. May I ask, I brought students with me so that I may speak, allow them to talk a little bit. So I'm Bill Johnson, I'm a Jesuit. I am the Vice President of Strategic Growth for Cristo Rey Jesuit High School, currently located just south of Miller Park. But this morning, 7 blocks this way, 20th and Pearson and National, we had 800 people in attend to the ceremonial groundbreaking of our new high school. $33 million investment in this neighborhood, and 500 young kids that are going to new life into this neighborhood and our city. I grew up in Milwaukee. I visited the domes. I lived for 14 years on 10th and Washington over here. I helped start Nativity Jesuit Middle School, which is down here on 29th and Orchard now, and we will have 500 kids, high school, college prep students working all over the city in our corporate work study program that perhaps you've heard of. Allow me, please, to introduce our students who just say a word. Please. Diana Gonzalez.
Hello. I think that these resources will allow our community to come together as a whole and connect in a way that we haven't been connecting before. Like, being consumed by technology today, these resources will allow us to come together and spend time together the way that we should be.
Say that all these recreational and environmental advancements that we're presenting are going to have a major impact on all the communities that rely on the domes as a source of, as a place of comfort and support and fun. My community included, since I actually live close to them.
I wanted to touch on what Liz was saying about immigration. I'm an immigrant and I moved here 3 years ago, and I feel like the Domes is one of the first places I caught my eye in Milwaukee. I feel like as a student and as an athlete, this is going to be a place where we can come together outside of school and take a break and just have a breather, and I feel like that's why I should stay.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. The idea of immigrants, and when we talked this morning at our groundbreaking, we talked about not national level, national avenue indeed, that's international avenue, and we bring in new peoples into this neighborhood, and let's together, as we used to do, come to our parks and use them and recreate. We already run our cross-country teams on the Hank Aaron Trail. We'll be all the closer to that now. Thank you.
Jim Cooley and then Louver Violette.
Good evening, Chair and Providers. I'm President of Preserve Parks, and it's my honor to say that our group fully endorses the plan and commend the work of the task force, and we really hope that you pass this. It may be the last chance for our friends. Thank you.
Your turn on my left, and then Craig Wirral.
Yes, I think that we should keep our journals because it's a historical artifact, and if we keep it, it should be children friendly, you know, where the children can come and play and have a place here for the kids to, you know, come study and do their homework. I think that even teachers, like local teacher and teachers abroad, if they don't want time out for students, they can come here and tutor their kids. And it would be a great place for horticulture, for the ecosystem, for the solar system. Pollination would be, to think about pollination of butterflies, bees, and so forth, the insects. And it's a great thing when it comes to Green Day, Earth Day, when it comes to the pollination of different herbs and shrubs and trees and so forth. I think we should keep it because it's a great ecosystem, and we should not do away with it. Thank you.
Thank you all. And then Patricia Adams.
Thank you, Supervisors. Currently, I'm an executive director of Milwaukee. Yes, so right now I'm executive director of Milwaukee Preservation Alliance, but I used to just be a little kid. I used to be a nephew and a son, and my mom just yesterday sent me a picture of my aunt and my mom, two of the five women that raised me here in 1967 out front for Mother's Day for my grandma. So this place means a lot to me, and I'm happy to be part of the Save Our Domes campaign. But these structures have been a major part of the generation before me, my generation, and now I'm a proud uncle, and my niece and nephew haven't seen the domes yet, so I would love for them to see it, hopefully, in a rejuvenated state. And Milwaukee Preservation Alliance has heard from thousands of Milwaukeeans, tourists, nationwide architectural fans, Park Square residents. They passionately want the domes to remain a strong cultural asset and destination, and we're pleased that the proposal brought forth tonight recommends rehabilitation of the domes, and at the center of it, as this reimagined civic commons. This plan recommended by the task force would bring much needed investment and economic revitalization. As these wonderful students over here told you, the plan benefits area residents in a number of ways: culturally inclusive, renewed, improved park facilities, the creation of new jobs and businesses, preservation and restoration of the domes themselves, and expanded programming and education, which is huge, and I know we all support education. Since the proposal relies on public-private funding partnership, the county's investment would be less than the amount required to demolish the domes. That's humongous. It's a win-win for Milwaukee County. Recent surveys have shown that over 80% of residents support this. In Milwaukee Business Journal, a survey said over 80% of residents. So there's details that still need to be ironed out. We all know this, but with your support as leaders and public-private partnership to come together, we can save these domes. Thank you very much.
Patricia Adams, followed by Lee Valentine.
They should have left it down. He was willing to special.
There's nothing we won't try. Never heard the word impossible this time. There's no stopping us.
Now, what if that show that's been on for 40 years and reruns suddenly shows up?
somebody comes here to see Milwaukee and the domes aren't there. That would be like somebody mentioned earlier today, that would be like St. Louis without the arch. Of course, we have to have our domes, and it can be reworked in a whole new way. I saw those kids earlier, and I thought of Greta Thunberg. I thought of her. And I thought of how amazing that young people will have a place to go to gather. This could be a whole new thing for for anything green, anything to do with our future, anything to do with the environment. I just foresee a whole new rebirth of environmentalism centered right here. Thank you so much.
Lee Valentin, followed by Lee Davis. Lee Valentin, Lee Davis.
Good evening, Supervisor. My name is Lee Valentin. I'm a relatively recent homeowner and resident on 24th Street down here just the past few years. Just want to go on record saying I'm very excited for the proposal. I didn't anticipate that something this extravagant or this broad would have been brought up through the task force, so I'm very excited for it. I hope that you will take into account everybody's comments tonight. I think we trust you as our county supervisors to make smart decisions about how our county is going to look going forward, and I think this is one of those kind of slam dunk decisions to make a really smart decision. So I hope you'll move forward with the proposal.
My supervisors, members of the task force, I've lived here since 1982, and the domes got tired over that course.
I'm not saying it's anyone's fault, but
I'm guilty of, I would think of the poinsettia deal around Christmas in the desert, and it was just never that exciting for me to go to the dumps. And we're all familiar with the phrase, you don't know what you got until it's gone. And I don't think any of us as Milwaukeeans want to lose the dumps under our stewardship. I know you guys have a big financial responsibility and appreciate what you're doing. I have a son that lives in Pittsburgh, and there's the Phipps Botanical Gardens in Pittsburgh, and it's been a very successful project. I'm not a culture guy, but we go there every time we go visit them in Pittsburgh, and it's a real stalwart of the community. It attracts education, business people, interests, people are members of it, and I just hope you can find a way to make this work. Thank you very much.
Good evening. I don't have time within 2 minutes to give you the things that I'm excited about, so you're going to hear my first this evening. The first concern that I have and request of you all is to have more transparency available to the average resident in regards of. It would be great to see the input that I've observed for the last couple of years here, starting with the 2016 session that you had, and forward, so that we can see where the community input has been summarized and prioritized, and then with the survey leading to the recommendations now. At this point, we're not able to see, has the community input really been what's leading where we're at now in any tangible way. That's my greatest concern. As a resident, I live 2 blocks down on the boulevard. I've had a home here for 30 years, and before then, I was born and raised in Walker's Point, and we used to walk from 3rd Street to this park, because I'm sure you're very well aware that the south side is one of the areas that has the least amount of green space in the city. The other concern that I would want addressed is what percent of the investment on this project plan was invested in resident engagement, and I mean that by grassroots resident engagement. Other concern topic is the issue of governance now and as we move forward. To me, it is very important that the people who govern our parks live in the county, and that we have a saturated resident presence from this neighborhood, and that that be the majority of the voice. The other issue that I would have, now I'm speaking as also right now the executive director of Southside Organizing Center, is the issue of equity and access. And at this point, I'm going to have to write the rest of my concerns, and I'd like to see them addressed. Thank you.
Kathy Arjuski, followed by David Charney.
First, I have to say, thank you, Father. There's nothing like Jesuit education. And to the task force, thank you. I came here to do war, and some of these people know about that reputation. So I am thankful that your conclusion is historic preservation. We are considered a young nation in the world, and we haven't yet learned the importance of preserving our past. The architectural design of the domes is outstanding, and I'm so happy that that was your conclusion. The other thing regarding culinary, MATC, which has a great culinary school, but would be a great partner. And as we were, as a county board, a former county supervisor, as a county board in 2000, in anticipation for the new millennium, we all met to talk about the future. One thing that was for, you know, for certain, children are a priority that has to be reflected in what we do. The other thing is we learned that quality of life is a basic need. And so I ask you, first of all, everybody always worries about taxes, but sometimes we have to worry about privatization too. So for heaven's sakes, think about the people you represent and be part of the investment. I know it's probably in the capital budget, people are worried about the property taxes. But please have our investment in this project. Thank you.
David Charney, followed by June Briziata.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you to the Board of Supervisors for giving the public the ability to speak to you this evening. I am going to be one of the few people that's going to probably say that I'm against this. And the reason why is this. Number one, if we look at iconic buildings, Milwaukee actually was in the same situation as the Art Museum. We took a bold move by hiring Santiago Calatrava to build an addition to the Art Museum. And today, that is a symbol, actually, with the wings of the Art Museum. And number two, that was a lot of private money that was raised for that addition. Number two, the Marcus Performing Arts Center just lost its main tenant, the Milwaukee Symphony, to the theater on Wisconsin Avenue. Private donations, I guess it's close to almost $100 million. So, that being the case, the county has invested money into a facility where the main tenant is going to be, it's going to be, I believe the symphony is going to be there in 2020. Number three, and this is important as well, obviously, you are responsible for taxpayers' money. And I look at this. These domes are phenomenal. However, they also replace facility that was grandiose, that was in downtown Milwaukee way before the domes were around. The county at that time decided to go with something very innovative. And in the 1960s, this is what was constructed. I highly would say, look at what we have now, look at the future, rather than the past, because we also have to think about the public museum as well. I think it should be a combination of both. But I'm running over my time, but thank you.
Julie Briziata, followed by Sebastian Clancy.
Jewel. Thank you all for being here speak real close to the mic.
How's that? Okay, thank you. I have been a participant of this facility, this beautiful place, since I could walk just about, well, almost. And my mother, when it was first built, she was very excited about it, and she made sure that I got here frequently, and now my daughter also comes. So for our family, it's been really important. It also, I think some of the issues that have been raised by some of the other people who spoke are very important. One of the things I'm a little bit concerned about is how much transparency there really will be in this endeavor, especially after it takes off, and there's so many commitments we're making to so many people in the community, and I really, really hope that those will be truly honored and followed through with. I think that's going to be a critical piece in terms of the survival of the plan. So anyhow, that's my positive. I certainly am glad that it's being considered that this is going to be kept. So thank you all.
Sebastian Lancy, followed by Michael Alt.
Hello. I'd like you all to know that I really love the domes. I go here occasionally riding my bike and playing at the playground. It's a really important part of the community, and I really want it to not get wrecked. And I just like to say that I feel like this is very important. Thank you.
And a flower and plant shop, and I'm fortunate that I have my own private domes that I get to do how I make my living, but this is a place that I've gone to since I was in preschool. I love it. Me and my wife and my baby lived above my shop for several years, and we actually just bought a house on 22nd in between National and Pierce, so we get to walk right across the street and enjoy it. The one thing I can't stress enough is I love this place. I also love this park, and I think, if we're doing funding for the domes, I think we should also focus very much on the park itself. So my wife with my baby wants to walk to the park at night, or in between several of these buildings, or any other lady that lives in this area, or man, they should feel comfortable, and I think that should be focused on, too, is just making sure the park is a clean, well-lit, safe place to be. And I think we should also focus on the people who do live in this area, how that will affect them to be able to stay here, to live here, without taxes going up, or, any of that kind of thing. Thank you.
Andrea Rodriguez, followed by Roman Burtis. Andrea Rodriguez. Okay, Roman Burtis, followed by Catherine Whitting.
I'm Roman Burtis. I live on the south side all my life. I'm against the project. If you can hold $13 million from the taxpayers to run this place every year, fine. If you look at the salary of 300 employees at $30,000 a year, you're talking $9 million. And the restaurant you put in, I went to Window Park, our lobby, $24 a plate for a brunch. How many people on Southside can afford a dinner like that? You talked about building the new domes, and you talked about insulated glass on the domes. I look at these windows, they're all insulated glass. Those aren't. You also hired a contractor to check out the domes, and they said you better fix it, it's falling apart. A couple years later, you hire another contractor. He says, you can do it. It's good. So what do? Hire the contractor you want to hear the words from? And how much have you spent on this? All those pictures, all the engineers, you've been doing it 2 or 3 years? Or are you, you know, Robin from Peter to pay Paul, or Mary to pay Jane? It's really so bad. And I looked at that tape that we've seen in the other side and showed the whole concept. I didn't see a fence around the project. I didn't see parking for the buses or cars. And all those concrete walls, that's just going to be heaven for the skateboarders. There's too many ifs in this. And my friends and daughter, my friends and family come home, no one ever asks to go to them. They'll go to a ball game, they'll go to a play, or they'll go to our favorite restaurants. But I can eat at Barbalados, I can go to my corner restaurant and eat for $8. And deferred maintenance, they talked about that. There's no money put aside for taking care of the old homes. What's going to happen when you have the Taj Mahal here covering the whole park? You won't be able to do it. And I, as a taxpayer, want to see it on the bill. We got to do a courthouse. We got to do a library. We're all dreaming. Thank you.
Catherine Wittig, followed by James Gosling.
Hello. Catherine Wittig, and I'm here mostly because my ancestors helped build this city. They came from places where they didn't have a say in the political process. That would be Germany, be Norway, and a couple other places. They came here to have a better life, and they advocated for the green spaces, which this is an extension of the idea. A place where people could relax, they could come and enjoy with their families, their friends, and get together. Where else but the domes can you go and travel if you can't get on a plane to come here and see the desert or to see the tropics? As a single mom or as with little children and you're going crazy in your house, where else can you bring your children to experience summer and winter to get away from it all? They spent a great deal of their time as aldermen to develop these areas for the common person. We have enough places for everybody else who can afford a ticket. But for the regular person and the families and the immigrants and those people who come here and need a place to relax without walls, without fences, without barriers, this is for everyone, not just the few. I thank you on behalf of the ladies.
James Rosman, followed by Karen Wine. Karen Coyne, followed by Susan Robin.
name is Karen Bond, and I live in Inverness Park, and I feel the frustration of the domes. I just want to cite the examples of, I've been here since 1987, but I've been coming to the domes since I was probably 2 or 3 years old. If we look at if I think back to the 80s, the lakefront was having some problems, and they put a lot of money in and renovated it, and now it's a very, very used space. There's lots of investment down there. There's people always down there exercising. Smaller example would be Tulsa East. When I moved, I live in Inverness Park, but Tulsa East was a little bit on the border, having some problems. They made a lot of investments on North Avenue, and now you always see people there going, eating, walking, you know, lots of vibrancy. I live in Inverness Park. We got investments and donations and did private work to invest in the park, and that now is an area that houses sell immediately. I have people that come up to me in the Triangle Park, and people come and say, you know, is there a house? Do you know of a house for sale? I want to buy a house in this park. So the choices of do you make an investment or not make an investment, and then what the result of those investments are, I think the choice to make an investment is very important. And those are 3 examples of where it really paid off. Thank you.
Good evening, I'm Sue Gravlin, and I am a very close neighbor right across the street. So I look out over the domes in the parking lot every single day, and it brings me joy. I moved into that place the month you said that the domes were going to close. So I'm really impressed tonight with not only the committee's report, but with the way the financials have been thought out. I don't know that we have all the details yet. I also am not sure if I've, you know, kind of gotten a grasp of everything that was proposed, but I feel we've got a nice overview. So I'm very much in favor for it. I will, with Mr. Arndt, I think is his name, maybe. I'm going to kind of go with him as well, though. So this is not devil's advocate, and I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but I do have a concern about the security in the park and about some of the stuff that goes on, and at times I don't feel as comfortable walking in it as I would like to. So I think with these improvements and repairs and bringing people in, I'm hoping, not that we don't get the support from the law enforcement, believe me, but I would like to see that it is even improved and that we really make this a great place that everybody can enjoy. Thank you.
Thank you, Bird. All right. Angelina Degani.
Hello, supervisors. Thank you very much for this opportunity. My name is Gregory Upper. I lived in Milwaukee since 1978. All during that time, I've heard high-income individuals, rich people say, hey, cut my taxes and I'll be more philanthropic. How many people have heard that? So why should any tax money be spent on this? General tax revenue. Let's have a surtax on high-income individuals here. Now, I don't understand why you would allow this rating for a pad to go on here on original terrain. I mean, these slopes were here from the earliest days, and yet this looks like some parking lot, a strip mall for these greenhouses, and I hope the designs for these improvements will be more sensitive about what a treasure this park is. Now, I've been to many, many meetings about the problems of the domes. I still think that the blast won't fall. The responsibility for the damage to the dome was not sufficiently attributed to that blast. And you can just see it from where the damage, which side of the dome the damage is on. Nonetheless, I have suggested many times in the past that a large tower be built with a tensile membrane structure that's retractable, that would cover the domes, that would give more space, and also a tower where people could climb to the top and see the lake from the top. So, thank you very much for this additional opportunity.
Angelina Nagani, or Nagiri?
Nagani.
Followed by Natalia Natalia Fajardo.
Can y'all hear me?
Good.
Okay. For one, I hate public speaking. I have social anxiety, so this obviously means a lot to me. I have lived here on the south side of Milwaukee right here, 21st of years, 30 years of my life. This has always been here. No matter if I went on a trip to Florida and I was in an airplane looking out the window, or I was on the freeway on my way back from Wisconsin Dells, you know what? Let me know that I was home. Looking out that window and seeing the three domes light up. That was my North Star. That meant that I was home. My journey was ending. And secondly, another reason why that I want the domes to stay here is because if you think of Milwaukee as a body, when we are born, we're all born with many things, but two things in particular, a heart and a soul. Now, as you're born and you grow up, you can add to those things, accessories, and glam it up, and, you know, kind of like metaphorically speaking, where Milwaukee adds new attractions and entertainment to make more profit. But there are certain things that you originate from, like the heart and the soul, that make Milwaukee what it is. And if you're going to invest money anywhere, it shouldn't be so much on the accessories, the new stuff. You invest it in the heart and the soul. Otherwise, nothing, right? Thank you.
Natalia, followed by Ian Batista. Ian Batista.
And Mr. Chairman, that is the last card, Mr. Batista.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors. Thank you for having this meeting tonight. As a member of the task force, I felt it was really my responsibility to also tell you how excited we are as a task force to be able to advance this recommendation to you. How many times can you invest 20 cents and get a dollar's worth of value out of it? Not very often, especially when you're in your very tough shoes to walk in as having to make decisions about public resources. This is one of those opportunities. But it's got a bonus on top of just the return on the investment, or the leverage of the investment. The 300 jobs that will be created by this proposal, the quality of life that's going to give neighbors in this area really the quality of life that they deserve, and the fantastic park that they have been hoping for a number of years over the course of sometimes 30 or other amounts of time that they've been living here. I've had the pleasure over the past 5 years of working as the executive director of the Clark Square Neighborhood Initiative, and this is Clark Square, so welcome, because you didn't know you're in Clark Square. There are 8,000 neighbors that live here. I can't pretend that over 5 years I've met every single one of them, but I've met a lot of them, and a lot of them have a great amount of passion for their neighborhood. Some of them invested, like I said, decades ago. Some of them just moved in a couple of years ago. But the thing that's common is they all want to have a good quality of life to be able to, you know, appreciate the property values. They want to be able to raise their kids, have great green space and good activities for them. If they're working hard or they're not quite getting ahead, they want to have opportunities for advancement. And so I think of all the kind of the convergence of those things, you all, as public stewards of our resources in the county, have the opportunity to make an investment, leverage that value, but also to benefit the quality of life of the 8,000 neighbors here in Clark Square, the neighbors in the adjacent neighborhoods as well, like Walker Square, Mosquito Way, and Silver City in the Menominee Valley. And there's a convergence of opportunities of these federal programs, like the New Markets Tax Credits, the Opportunity Zones, the Historic Tax Credits, the PACE financing, that are all coming together for a reason. This is the time. And if we don't act on it, we'll look back 10, 15, 20 years from now as a county, and we'll lament the fact that we could have really made this investment, we could have got that leverage, we could have benefited so many of our county residents, but we didn't take that opportunity. Let's not regret later on. I do want to say a comment about transparency, because with public-private partnerships, there is an opportunity for abuse. We know that you, as our County Board of Supervisors, would not let that happen. But I'll tell you, also as a task force member, as a kind of a champion of making sure that things are fair for everybody in the community, I'll really need influence as a county citizen. And I know that there are other advocates and people out there that if they were tapped to serve on some of these governance structures that are going to be making the decisions, setting the guidelines for these partnerships and these private entities to benefit as well, for hiring, et cetera, if you were to tap just some of the talent in this room and in this community to be able to act on behalf of their fellow neighbors and county residents, I think you'd be very pleased with the amount of vigilance and determination that they would have to see that justice prevails and that people are able to benefit. So thank you again. I hope you will advance this plan, endorse it, and keep it moving along the process where we can take advantage of this opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Peter
Zane, followed by Zeno Franco.
Hi, my name is Peter Zane. I'm the president of the Milwaukee Preservation Alliance. We're a nonprofit group that advocates for historic buildings in the city of Milwaukee. Just give a little bit of background on why we're involved. 3 years ago, when these homes were threatened, we stepped in along with the National Trust for Historic Preservation. And our mission from the very beginning has been to see all the homes restored. So we're really excited with this proposal that would do that using the historic tax credits. I would also like to in respect to some comments that were made earlier, just kind of point out, in comparison to Art Museum, you know, Milwaukee did make this really bold architectural statement 50 years ago. This is a legacy that really defines the city. It's something that when people think of the city, it is already that icon. Just as when we think about 50 years, what it's going to look like at the Art Museum, that's going to be preserved as well. So I would like to just kind of emphasize that this is already something that people associate with Milwaukee outside of the community. I'd also just like to point out that they are unique, you know, globally. They were designed by a local architect, Donald Green. He actually got a patent for the design. The shape is conoidal, one of the kind of quirky things about the domes, and there's literally nothing else that's quite shaped like that, so it is truly unique to the city. And I just would also like to say that what's really neat about the domes is it's an equitable place where people, no matter where they live, where they come from, it's a place that's affordable for families to bring their children to, especially during colder months in the winter. And it's a place that we can all just kind of, you know, hang out as a community. It's not an elitist place. It's not a place that anyone feels is off limits. It's for everyone. And it's really neat that it's in this community place where everybody's embraced it and is in such a diverse community. And lastly, I'd just like to thank the county board for hosting this public hearing. I really appreciate you guys' time. I also would like to thank the task force who invested so much time over the past 3 years. And I really hope that you just take all these comments into account and that we can get these domes saved. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Dr. Zeno Franco. I'm a faculty member of the Medical College of Wisconsin. I am not representing the Medical College as an institution, but as a group of faculty from a number of different institutions of higher education who are very focused on this location, on the domes, and on the park as they relate to the health of this community. I would like to say that I've sat through about 120 meetings focused on urban agriculture in the city of Milwaukee. Really trying to take the ideas that are emerging from our local communities, from our minority communities, about how to create new places, how to create economic activity that matters for individuals within these communities that we are trying to serve, and taking those ideas forward into the future. I hear a lot of discussion about the domes as a legacy, about the past. They were a vision for the future when they were built. And I think we have the opportunity to create the next vision for the future right now. Through the Institute for Urban Agriculture and Nutrition, which was a failed program,
We got $600,000 to focus on scaling up urban agriculture in this city. A failed program got more than $500,000 in grant funding. What we lacked in that moment was a building. It was an icon. It was a place to say, Milwaukee is the heart of horticulture and urban agriculture in not just Wisconsin, but in the United States of America. This place, this physical location, is the future if we take this moment now. I, with my faculty partners at the major institutions of higher learning in this community, believe that we can use this as a research station, building on the plan that has been put forward to you today. We should have postdoctoral students coming in, learning about how to do community-driven horticulture and urban agriculture in a way that is collaborative with our communities, fair, equitable, and driving the future as our world changes. We have to understand how to be sustainable. And that needs a research station, and that can be done right here. I want to say one more thing. I do see the stop sign. Okay. The $13 million is small potatoes when it comes to the amount of federal dollars that can be driven into this location through grant funding that faculty can bring to the table. And I'm not just talking. If you look at my resume, if you look at the faculty that I work with, we have brought tens of millions of dollars of funding into Milwaukee. Okay. I think that should be going right here. And I'll say one more thing about this, which is as a minority faculty member, it is incredibly important to me that what happens here serves the current residents, not the gentrified residents, not the residents who can bring a lot of money, but folks who just want to come to enjoy this park so that their health can be improved. This park is an incredible health asset for this neighborhood, for the neighborhood directly to the north, for the entire city. And so with the faculty in the major institutions of higher education that are interested in this space are asking you to partner to advance this proposal. Thank you.
Anna Lankins, followed by Denise Shines.
Greetings, board, and greetings to all of you that are here tonight. It's a very important issue. I'll go very specific, and then I'll get very, very general. Very specifically, I'm the second generation of a grandfather from Puerto Rico, born on the mainland. Puerto Rico has the rainforest that the Western Hemisphere can claim, okay, because it's the United States territory. Except we have elements of the rainforest, desert, the seasonal flora of Wisconsin State, all in this big mismatch of just awesome diversity. I'm excited about the step forward mentioned to me about bilingual labels in the park and in other places. I'm excited about the equity of underserved, or if you want to use the word minority, underserved people being given the opportunity for employment, for training, and for this to be something that Milwaukee can say is a beacon of cultural diversity and inclusion. I also want to say in a general sense that this place represents ecology, history, culture. It represents so much that is so vital. There's nothing like this in the rest of the United States. Internationally, we are something of a point of light, something to be studied. And I will also venture to say that we can leave no stone unturned for the other things that we hold dear, athletics and entertainment, and make sure we have an astounding building by Sir Warren to keep the bucks here. Let us also keep something that has such historical, environmental, and historical relevance, not only just for our region of the Midwest, but the rest of the United States and internationally. I'll say it once again. I come from, well, my grandfather, but I come from my grandfather, a place that the United States can have claim to a rainforest, but we have bits of it here. With so much emphasis on climate change and working with our natural world and our natural resources in order to survive as a people. If we destroy this, we don't have any opportunity for Ms. Rivera's accountability. We don't have the opportunity to hold the stakeholders accountable to the affordability and inclusion of the projects to come. But there's so many stakeholders now that when I read in a presentation, deferred maintenance is what got us here over the years. We're stopping the insanity now at breaking the ground to Ms. Stevens. And I'm glad mom was able to come, 97-year-old mom. That's all I have to say.
Hi, good evening. So I am third generation. Our family homestead is over at Pearl Street, 18th and Michigan. 80 years we've had this home. So we have my mother, my grandmother isn't any longer with us, but this place was considered a treasure. It was a place for holidays. It was a place to get a little respite from our winter. It was a place that we would take our families from either Germany or Italy who were visiting and show them, this is what Milwaukee has. This is what is so special. So I, as a resident, am asking that when going through these plans and the design concept looks promising, but it needs to be transparent. It's very difficult to read the journal and then see things sort of shifting, and it gets a little queasy. So my pledge to you, or my hope, is that when this is going through and this is moving forward, that the domes be thriving, not something that gets lost to the shelf, and that it be available to the residences, family, children, school. We can't lose sight of that. And when money comes into play, unfortunately, it's, as my grandmother would say, it's the nature of the beast. That sometimes we get sidetracked with the bigger picture, which is what we're seeing here, and we're witnessing the changes and proposals. So I just ask, as a humble citizen of this wonderful, beautiful city, and I should say neighborhood, my homestead, our homestead, for 80 years, that not to lose sight of that, so that we actually have something that works. And I see the stop sign, so I'm stopping. Thank you.
Olga DeFever.
I'd just like to say thank you for the opportunity and the ability lived in this neighborhood. I brought when family comes from other countries, I take them to the domes, and they're very happy to see that some of the tropical zones are there, the desert zones are there, and the kids love the plains. I am a grandmother, and most of my kids are winter kids, and one of the places that I used to bring them here every Monday, now it's changed, but every Monday I used to bring them so they can have a place to walk, so they can smell the fresh air and the flowers. It's an experience that grows with us, and most of the people are bringing in here, is that it is a piece of our soul, as it has been said, and a piece of our family that grows here, because we are connecting to nature. Without nature, our soul is stagnant. And this is one way that we can hold nature in 9 months of the year. Sometimes we don't see this. Last week we didn't see the sun for over a week.
you'll come here and get your medicine. Your soul comes down, your attention can go away, even if it's for 5 minutes. So please keep it going. Make it equitable to all citizens, not just those that can pay for the restaurant, but also spaces where people can come and bring their picnics, and where schools are able to bring their kids back, and where families can bring their children that do not have the $5, $10 to pay or $5, $15 in a month. Yes, it is a great message for us. Thank you. Hello, good evening. I'm actually a first generation immigrant. I came here in 1995 from Russia as a 24 year old. I just realized sitting in the audience that I have lived in Milwaukee for half of my life. So almost 30. And the Domes have been a huge part of my family, my Russian-American family. Our daughter came here, started coming here as a two-year-old. She's now 20. She's in college and is a very successful young lady. But what really comes to my memory is that one day, it was winter, it was cold, and I told my American husband, I said, I don't like this weather. He said, wow, isn't it cold in Russia? I said, yes, but I'm sick of the cold. He said, I got it. I have a place where we can go, and it'll be warm, and it's going to be fun. So he brought me here to the Domes, and we kept coming here, first together, then with our daughter. And I brought my mom here a couple of times. She does not live in Wisconsin. She lives in Russia. But the Domes is still part of our conversations, because my mom loves the plants, and she knew about this meeting. She said, I'm going. I said, Mom, I will go. So I'm speaking to the people of the Domes. Thank you.
Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. I have been very, very supportive of the Domes, especially through the Friends of the Domes. I was past president of that group several years ago. But the one thing I would like to mention is that what we haven't talked about are the Milwaukee Birds. I'm in Milwaukee County. I live in Franklin for the last quite a few years. But I still come here. But I don't see anything that addresses bringing people in that are in the county but that don't live in the city. I appreciate all the closeness. I really do, and I want to see everybody succeed. But that might be an opportunity at some time to get in some of the people from the burbs in and some of the money that's out there that is looking, but they're kind of afraid to come in. So maybe we need some good publicity, etc. But thanks very much.
Hello, my name is Jeff Mitchell. Thank you very much for allowing us the opportunity to provide my input. I have a unique experience in that I have not been born and raised here. I am from Chicago, and I came here as a tiny child when I was probably about 7 years old, and I had a very unique experience. I came in here in winter time. And I thought it was such an amazing experience to go in the Domes and to be able to experience having a warm environment despite the snow outside. I learned that there were different types of fauna and different types of environments and different types of plants that would grow in these various environments that are displayed at the Domes. And I think it is a wonderful opportunity for children to learn those sorts of things. The other thing is, having the lens of having moved here from Chicago, I moved here 6 years ago, I would say that Milwaukee is on a precipice of change, really phenomenal change. I'm very excited about the direction of Milwaukee. And I think that no matter what your political views are, we have an intention coming, we have an opportunity to showcase our home, and we have an opportunity to partner with people in the region and to put our community on a national stage and to demonstrate our commitment to our historical components of our architecture and our history with our buildings such as the domes. So I please consider fully all of the opportunities that we have before us in terms of funding this project. I feel that it's been very well thought out. I've gone to a meeting or two in addition to coming here tonight, and I really do believe that it is a good plan. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I have one card from Mary Gores that did not indicate whether she wished to speak or register again or against. Is Mary here? Mary Gores? Okay. Mr. Chairman, I have no more cards for public speaking. I have several cards to read into the record for to be read in. Would you go ahead, sir?
Please read those into the record.
Registering, but not speaking in favor, I have Val Pacheco-Rios, Luis Delgado, Suzanne Powell, Elizabeth Ferrier, Marguerite Harvey, Roger Krawicki, Barbara Major, Sandra McSweeney, Lori Bramley, Michael Edley, Gerald Karnowski, Ron Schwensen, Gary Skorowski, Clarence Schreiber, Jeffrey Loss, Sarah Gail Luther, Andrew Schwantz, Dale Hester, Dion Muller, Patty Doherty, Mike Bolescus, Claire Musa, Tim Dorothy Kencott, David Swanson, Izelle McQuay, Carol McQuay, Catherine McEwen, Dr. Lori Gensch, Bethany Tau, Marilyn Wiseman, Wesley Wiseman, Mary Phillip, Sally Sullivan, Shirley Tudor, Doris Fons, and Nancy Caranta.
Sorry.
That's the best I can do in the names.
I apologize in advance.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else whose name has not been called who wishes to be heard? I just want to make one comment on transparency that came up several times. Just want to point out for anyone, whether it's on this issue or any county issue, all legislation, reports, agendas, minutes, etc., are all online, as well as video of our committee proceedings and our board proceedings. You can watch those live, or you can watch them after the fact if you're trying to track an issue. If you go to Milwaukee.gov, click on CLIC, which is a county legislative information center. So there you can also find contact information for any members of the county board, so you can find your county supervisor, as well as the county executive, who has a role to play in this issue as well. So you can share your thoughts, ask questions, and track the issue that way. I did want to recognize Supervisor Ortiz Velez as our hostess here as well.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I don't want to be brief, but I thank you for this opportunity to speak. I got elected maybe a year and a half ago, and I got to meet a wonderful team of people that have been working on this a lot longer than me, and that was the Domes Task Force. I want to thank all of them for their very, very hard work. There were times we met four times a week. I don't know if people know how hard the task force worked, but I want to say thank you so much to everyone that sits on the task force, including Jason Haas, and many of the members here. I also want to just mention the one thing that I want to really emphasize that was kind of touched on but wasn't brought up. When this plan came forward, when I saw it from the consultant, the first thing I realized is how very low cultural diversity that we have in our current operations right now. And I want to say that in the new plan, we really embrace other cultures and communities, especially for
You know, just one example, the African American community really has had no place in this domes at all. And I have a big problem with that. In other cultures, in other communities, this really should be a place for everyone. Although I have the honor of representing this community and representing the domes, this domes really belongs to all of Milwaukee County. Thank you.
Thank you.
I did also just wish to thank the new director of the domes, Ms. Maki, and her staff for helping us put this on. It was a lot of work. A few things we had to go with the flow. Things didn't work out. Some of the reasons, you know, we expected to have a presentation, not have you walk, but to have done it here, but it was very bright in here at that time of day, and it was not showing up. So I appreciate everyone who pulled together and pulled this off. With that, there's no further business for the committee to hold. This meeting is adjourned.